Well, during our holiday up in the top end, you know, we had a fantastic time up there in the Northern Territory a few weeks ago, and we got to see amazing things, as I shared a little bit last week. Got to see some spectacular waterfalls. Who likes waterfalls? Big waterfalls coming off the escarpment, off Arnhem Land into Kakadu. Amazing. We also saw fantastic gorges and a wonderful wetland full of bird life and fish life and crocs. Definitely lots of crocs. And but also another thing that Colleen and I observed with my parents is that there was a whole lot of controlled burning occurring while we were there. And many times we actually were literally driving down the road and you'd see big flames leaping right by the side. And that's because the tall grass, 8 feet high grass, has started to dry off and now they're starting to burn. And you probably wonder, why are they burning all this grass? And that's because they know with absolute certainty that when the wet season comes later on in the year, they will have the land struck by lightning. And there will be fires without a hesitation. And if they don't do the controlled burns, then there's going to be raging and devastating bushfires through the land, probably claiming lives and property. And so as a result, the land is prepared in readiness for the lightning strikes. And as I thought about that, as I thought about that picture, I couldn't help but think about how we need to be prepared in a spiritual sense from a lightning strike. A lightning strike that is coming. It's called the Day of Judgment. God has spoken about it. He is a God of grace and mercy, but he's also told us that there is a day of reckoning coming. His wrath will fall. We will be struck. And it will be devastating for us. We already know that. The bad news is the reason why it's going to be bad is because we are spiritually dead and dry. We are people who have rebelled against God, and all of us have sinned. And God's judgment will come upon us and it will be devastating. I'm so glad that's not the Bible story only. Praise be to God that we can be prepared and ready for the day of judgment. We can be saved from judgment and granted eternal life. God has made that clear in his word. We can be prepared. And the Bible tells us we can be prepared, not by doing any controlled burns. That's not going to help us. But we can do this. We can repent of our sins and we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And one of the great books in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, that declares this is the book of Romans. And this morning, we're going to launch into a sermon series on the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, how to be prepared for the day of judgment coming is very powerfully put by the Apostle Paul. So the book of Romans is a fantastic book that many Christians love. People often view Romans as a very deep book. It really isn't so much deep book. It's just a book full of wonderful truths that we can understand through the help of the Spirit, but it's profound. Let's just recall a little bit about the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans with the enabling of the Holy Spirit. It is an inspired book of the Bible. God's Spirit enabled him to write it on his third missionary journey. He probably was around Corinth at the time, and God's Spirit had put it on his heart to go to Jerusalem. But he wanted to go to Rome, but God's Spirit wanted him to go to Jerusalem. And so because he knew he couldn't make his way to Rome, he thought, I'll write them a letter. So that's what he did. And so he went to Jerusalem. The reason why he wanted to go to Jerusalem, besides the Spirit leading him there, is he also wanted to give the Jerusalem Christians a very lovely gift to help them, because the land at that time was being affected by a great famine. And what a book the book of Romans is. It is a book where we will read about a great statement, justification by faith. That's huge in the book. But you know, some people think that's what the book is all about. It's not just about justification by faith. How to be made right with God. How to be prepared for the day of judgment. The book of Romans also is a fantastic book that helps us know how we are to live once we have believed in Jesus. It talks about how our life should be lived in the light of God's grace to us, in the light of how he has set us free from our sins and from the judgment to come. One of my favorite verses in the book of Romans is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says there, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. And the book unfolds what that looks like. We also see God's wonderful plan to not only save Gentiles, but even his rebellious Old Testament people, the Jews. That God is a God of amazing grace. And even God's people, Israel, God even mentions there in Romans 9 to 11 how one day he would bring them to faith in Christ. We're still waiting for that day. It's a really special book. And what a joy and privilege it is for us as a church over the next months, probably take us a while, to look at the book of Romans. But let us remember that even though the Apostle Paul penned these words, I want to affirm with every book in the Bible that it's inspired of the Holy Spirit. These words are the breath of God. These words are highly beneficial for all of us to read. And may God bless this book as we look at each verse and each chapter as we read through it. So this morning we're going to be looking at the first seven verses of the book of Romans. We're going to get right into it. And what I want us to see in this opening section of the book of Romans is that, like the rest of the book, the book of Romans is all about one really important thing. It is this phrase, the gospel of God. Did you pick that up in the first verse? It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The book of Romans is about God's gospel. Do you like that? The gospel is God's gospel. The word gospel means good news. God has got good news for us. God has got great news. Good news for us sinners. For us people who have fallen, who are broken. Every human being, if they have any understanding of what gospel means and God's gospel, ought to have their ears tuned into this. This is what we need to hear. The gospel of God. So this morning, let us consider in the first seven verses what we read about God's gospel. I'd like us to read again verse 1 and also into verse 2. And let's make some comments as we go along. So the beginning of Romans, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the first thing that we learn about the gospel of God is that the gospel of God did not just start to come about through the apostles like Paul and John and Peter. Nor did it just start to appear when Jesus walked this earth. The gospel of God goes right back. You get that here? The gospel of God goes right back to the days of old. Right back. As it says there, this gospel was promised beforehand through God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And the Old Testament, we have in the Old Testament this amazing revelation of the gospel. It was spoken of by God through the prophets. And then it finally was revealed in full when Jesus did come. And his apostles declared the gospel as well. And you know, when I think about that, it shows us that God planned this gospel from a long ago time. In fact, you know what? He planned this gospel, this good news for us, when? Before creation. Before he made us. This is incredible. Before he made us, knowing full well that we would fall away from him, God planned with his son. This is the gospel. God planned it long ago that he would have mercy upon us and grace to save us. What an incredible message this is. The gospel of God. God planned it. We first hear about God's plan to save us. When? When in the Bible do we start to come across this great plan? Well, it's an incredible place where you first find it. It's in the book of Genesis, near the beginning, after God created this world in a beautiful state, and after he made Adam and Eve and created marriage for us as well, we read of a really black thing that happened. Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God. They sinned. They did their own thing. They plunged us, the whole human race, into a state of rebellion and lostness. That's what they did through their rebellion. But yet, in the midst of that chapter, God begins to reveal His great plan. He promises something extraordinary. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Speaking to the devil of all the people, He says to the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." And this is the very first passage that speaks of one who would be born of a woman, who would deliver us from Satan and, of course, from sin. That is none other than the Lord Jesus. He is the very first promise that is given. I don't know how you feel, but I am so, so thankful that when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not strike them down. He did not strike down the human race, but came in grace. He sought them out and called them and promised a Savior for us. And from Genesis chapter 3:15, right through the Old Testament scriptures, you think of some of the great prophets that God spoke through, like Abraham and Moses and David and Isaiah, Jeremiah, so many people. God gave them many things to share, but again and again, He would get them to share something about the gospel. God's gospel, what God had planned long ago and promised faithfully right through the scriptures. I want you to remember, when we talk about the gospel, this is God's gospel that He planned and promised long ago. This is a most amazing story, and it comes from God's own heart. I want you to reflect upon this, that this gospel God planned for and promised despite humans going from bad to worse. Even His own people getting worse and worse. God never ever gave up on fulfilling His plan for us to send a Son, even His Son, to save us. He continued to promise, though it must have hurt God's heart so much to see humankind just becoming more and more rebellious. What an amazing God. Praise be to God for His gospel. And then the Apostle Paul brings out, or the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, these next words in verses 3 and 4 of Romans 1. And it says, concerning His Son, that's the gospel of God, concerning His Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. And what I love about this little section here in verses 3 and 4 is that we find out here that God's gospel is not just something that He planned and promised long time back, but it concerns His Son. The gospel is all about the person of Jesus. There is no prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the gospel that doesn't mention a reference to the one who would come and save us, even Jesus. He is preeminent in the gospel, is He not? The Father's Son. You know, as I think about these two verses, verses 3 and 4, I'm conscious that I live in a world where our world would have no problem in accepting verse 3. Concerning this one, He was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Yep, that's right, we agree with that. Jesus was this man, a Jewish man, who was born of the line of David. He's also born of the line of Abraham. But friends, He's so much more than that. He's so much more than that. He is the Son. How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? The Apostle Paul could have written chapters after this, but he only gives us one verse. Consider, how do we know that Jesus is God's Son, the eternal Son? Well, that's because Jesus is the one who fulfilled all those prophecies concerning Him. David. And then we think about how His birth was so special. He was conceived like no other. And God showed that to be the case by having angels come and sing at His birth and a star to herald His birth. And then you think of his life, how his life constantly showed that he truly was God's son. Who do you know who could walk on water and calm storms and raise the dead and with a word cast out demons? There was no one like Jesus. Everything shows us that he is God's son. But Paul reminds us in verse 4 that the great climax when he was truly declared to be the son of God was actually his resurrection. When he was raised from the dead bodily, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, conquered death, when he was given a glorious new body through the power of the Holy Spirit, then it became absolutely convincing that this Jesus is the Son of God, God's eternal Son who came into our world. The gospel is all about this Jesus. Is it not? You can't talk about the gospel without Jesus. What a great son he is, the son of God, and what a great savior he is to us. It is this Jesus who, the great son, who came from heaven, who took on our human form, who died in our place and was raised to life, so that as the gospel declares, we might have hope and salvation through him. But let's now consider some other verses in the book of Romans, the beginning here. And I want us to consider the purpose and plan of God in regard to his gospel. Yes, God planned and promised it long ago. It involves the person of Jesus. Well, what was God's purpose and plan in regard to the gospel? Let's read verses 5-7. Through whom, that's through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In these opening words, the Apostle Paul helps us to see something very special in verse 5. Through Jesus, we have received grace. That delights my soul. I understand that in the gospel that God planned long ago, that involves the Lord Jesus, God has been pleased through his gospel to give me grace. And we need grace. Through Jesus, I and you receive grace. We don't receive from Jesus justice or judgment, which is what we deserve, but we receive grace. Grace is undeserved favor. When I think of God's grace to me through Jesus, I'm mindful that God's grace means these things, that I have been pardoned from all my sins. And that melts my heart. I have been pardoned. You have been pardoned from all your sins, past, present, and future. In God's grace to you through Jesus, you will not stand before God's judgment. You have been spared from it. You will not have to give an account of anything wrong that you have done. You have been set free from judgment. Not only that, you have been made right with God. In such a state, you've been so cleansed through Jesus. This is grace that you are now acceptable to God and can know him and walk with him. God's able to embrace you, even though he is the holy God. This is grace. Though we have sinned, though we have been rebellious, in God's gospel, we receive grace. That's why we often say about this word grace, it is amazing grace. It is amazing. In verse 7 it says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you. There's that word, grace to you. It also says peace. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word peace I just want to explore with you too. Through Jesus, not only have we received amazing grace, but we have received peace. How does that grab you? Peace. We've been made right with God. We have peace with God. We once were an enemy of God. I remember that in my days of rebellion. I was an enemy of God. I was an object of his wrath. But when I came to embrace Jesus, I came to have peace with God. There's a great verse in Romans. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 that tells us about that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. And not only do we have peace with God, but we have peace from God. And God in his grace has been pleased to flood our soul with peace. There's some great verses on this. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14 verse 27 and all of us who embrace him, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled and let not it be fearful. The Lord Jesus has been pleased to give us great peace. Philippians 4:7 says, this peace of God surpasses all comprehension and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, I want you to see that the gospel, God's great gospel to us, in God's gospel, his purpose and plan was for us to receive grace and to receive his rich peace, even though we live in a very troubled and fallen world. This is God's gospel to us. What a God that he should be bothered about us, that he should be pleased through his son to give us amazing grace and peace. But as the apostle Paul brings out here, the key to us receiving grace and peace is through Jesus, or more specifically, through having faith in Jesus. And the gospel of God and the book of Romans is very strong on that. You must have faith in him. That is to say, you must believe in him and trust in Jesus. You must believe that he is God's son and what he did for you on the cross and how he rose from the dead. You must believe in him. You must receive him to be your Lord and Savior through faith in him. But you know, there's another thing too here. God's purpose and plan was not just to give us grace and peace through faith in Christ. There's something very interesting in verse 5. It says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. That's the apostle Paul received apostleship. To bring about, it says, the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. And I'm reminded in the gospel of God, God has been pleased to save us through his son if we have faith in him. But he wants us to be people of obedience. We need to understand that well. We don't get to heaven by being obedient. We get to heaven by faith in Jesus. But in the light of what God has done for us, in the light of his son dying for us and rising again to give us life, in the light of God's amazing grace and the peace he has given us, we, in response, are meant to be obedient. The book of Romans is about that. It's about justification by faith. And it's also very strongly about living lives in obedience to God. Why? Got to remember. Why? To get to heaven? No. Because of what God has done for me and for you. It's our response to him. We are meant to be living obedient lives to him. And the apostle Paul understood that. I'm not just going around as an apostle preaching the gospel so that people might have faith in Christ. I'm also doing this other thing too. I'm helping them come to faith in Christ to be saved and then to be obedient to Christ, living lives, following him, living lives that are radically different from the world, living lives that bring glory and honor to our God. That's what we're meant to be caught up with if we have any appreciation of the gospel of our God. And I can't help but, you know, look forward to these great chapters that we will see that, what it means to live in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. And to think that that's possible, us who were rebels, all because of what Christ has done for us and because of also the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will be mentioned a lot in Romans. We'll come across that especially in Romans 8. The mighty Spirit who raised Christ from the dead now lives in us to enable us to live a life of obedience. So, we have launched into the book of Romans. Feel free to read it yourself. This great book, it is about the gospel of our God. I just thought it'd be nice for us to sing together a song that, a response song in regard to how we should be living our lives in the light of coming to believe in Jesus. So let's stand and sing together the song, O Great God of Highest Heaven. Our Father, we want to thank you for this amazing little phrase we've looked at this morning, the gospel of our God, even the gospel that you've given us. And we are so thankful for how we have been blessed to have good news given to us from you. It could all be bad news. You could so easily have been so upset with us, so hurt that the news to us could have easily have been, you are lost, you are condemned. But our Father, how amazing it is that we should discover that you are a God who has so loved us, that you have planned and promised to save us long ago, and you carried out that plan through your Son. And through your Son, through faith in him, we can receive grace and peace and mercy. And I trust that everyone here, we might have received your grace because we have put our faith in Jesus. No longer looking to our good works or doing what we can, but looking to Jesus alone to save us. We thank you for your amazing grace to us and the peace that you flood our life with when we are your child. Thank you for your amazing love for us. Oh Lord, help us to really appreciate and love you for it, and help us in response to you to live lives that are obedient to you, that we might show our gratitude to you by living lives that are pleasing to you. Thank you that the book of Romans is going to be looking at these two great things as we look at the importance of faith in Christ and then living out that faith. Help us in truly having faith in Christ and living it out. Lord, we just thank you for the time we've had this morning, and we thank you for your great word. Thank you for your Spirit. May your Spirit help those words we've looked at this morning to be applied to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.